Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. I want to thank you for joining us on the show today. And for those of you who want to catch up on our previous episodes, remember to check us out at voanews.com. We are also on all social media platforms, so be sure to connect with us on there too. Our Twitter handle is Upfront Africa. We are on Facebook. We are almost a million strong on Facebook. So like, subscribe, and share. Leave us a message. Let us know what you think about the show. So much to talk about today. Let's start off in West Africa, in Nigeria, Africa's most populous nation, where for weeks, thousands of young people who make up half of the country's population have taken to the streets, blocking major roads across cities, demanding for police reform and the disbanding of the notorious police unit known as the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, or SARS. In Lagos, Nigeria's commercial hub, the state government relaxed the curfew that was imposed last week. However, many residents have continued to stay at home after a week that witnessed the killing of peaceful protesters who had defied the earlier curfew and the ensuing violence. And from Lagos, our correspondent Samuel Okocha reports on the current situation and what next for young Nigerians who had taken to the streets in a global end SARS campaign against police brutality.
The streets of Lagos are buzzing back to life after the state eased curfew restrictions to 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Commercial buses have taken to the streets while private cars ply the roads, but not everyone is coming out.
I don't think it's safe enough to go out.
Yejide Adeneye is a mother of one, and she's weary of going out. She says there is a tense calm after day unrest.
I've not even been going out at all. So even though the curfew has been lifted, I still don't feel comfortable going out yet, especially because I have a little one. I feel, you know, I should still continue to watch the situation of things before I step out at all. It's really because, I mean, nobody expected what happened last week. There was no way we could have expected this. So I guess everybody's still trying to lie low.
Unrest escalated in Lagos and other parts of Nigeria after the shooting of the protesters who gathered last Tuesday night in defiance of a curfew to demonstrate against police brutality. Rights group Amnesty International said soldiers and police had killed at least 12 protesters in two districts in Lagos. The army and police have denied any involvement. Over the weekend, Nigeria's police chief ordered the immediate mobilization of all force resources to control the street violence that saw hoodlums looting and destroying public and private properties. President Muhammadu Buhari has called for an end to the protests and said government was already responding to the issues raised. But while demonstrations have ended on the streets, the NSAS protesters say they are not giving up.
The problem has not been solved in the minds of so many people. They just feel the government just did whatever because they have guns. And now you are telling the people that when next they are coming to fight for their right, they have to come prepared. So we now know one or two things. The tricks of the politicians, the tricks of the government, what they use in suppressing people's voice.
Abio Dauphin is 26 and one of the protesters who took to the streets for 2 weeks demanding an end to police brutality with the NSAS campaign. He says the NSAS protests have awakened the political consciousness of Nigerian youths who are now going to stay active in demanding for good governance.
Let's leave SARS alone now. Anytime we feel that a government official is found guilty of corruption, we can take protest to that person's house for the person to step down until he has been cleared by the court of law. So like that, people now understand that the power belongs to them.
Samuel Okocha, VOA News, Lagos, Nigeria.
You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganya. Let's hit the streets to listen to some of your opinions. What is on your mind?
I have the mask, but you found us here negotiating about something. You get, and you cannot put a mask when you are negotiating with your fellow what? With your fellow friend. So, and it came to Uganda. Let me tell you, Uganda is where people are wearing masks when they are seeing policemen, let me tell you this, but are not putting much as they want themselves.
My name is Kasiri Bonalunga Joy. What I feel is that coronavirus has made people take advantage of the fact that some people are not allowed to campaign and then others are allowed to campaign. So there's a lot of confusion on, are we supposed to gather? Are we not supposed to gather? So now the people in power are taking that as an opportunity to take advantage, and I think they want that advantage to win the elections, which is not fair.
My name's Rachel Ahomza. It's definitely affecting elections because people cannot, the politicians, how they used to go to villages to convince people to vote for them, they can no longer do that because they emphasize social distancing, and when you mobilize people there, you will not do the social distancing that they talk of.
My name is Olivia. I'm in Kampala. Most of the Ugandans, they're out there, are not on social media. And most people who are not on social media or who are not following the social media don't know what is going on. I think the voting process will be affected. Candidates have not gotten enough time or have not gotten enough platform to speak out to the people.
Welcome back. You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Now, Africa's tourism industry has been ranked as the second fastest growing tourist industry in the world, bringing in almost $30 billion annually. However, since March of this year, when the WHO declared COVID-19 as a global pandemic, travel to the continent has seen a sharp decline, and the impact on the African tourism ecosystem, which employs thousands of young people, is immeasurable, given that in many cases, revenues from tourism are the lifeline of many of their local economies. And part of the African tourism ecosystem are hundreds of tour guide companies, often run by young entrepreneurs. And many of those companies are now struggling, especially those that were in their startup phase. But what if that tour company believes that its model is to disrupt the travel industry? Charles Shima is the founder of Zaniheza, a startup company entering Rwanda's robust tourism industry. He talks to me about his ambitious goal to revolutionize tourism in his country.
My journey has been very long. I left Rwanda when I was 16 years old during the genocide against the Tutsi, and I found myself in Vancouver, Canada. And I spent about 24 years in Canada before I returned to Rwanda in 2018. In 2019, I had what I should call a calling to start this new company called Zaniheza. That was June of 2019. And we started, and about February of 2020, when we were about to launch, boom. Here happens the big lockdown.
The global
and
pandemic.
I'm sitting in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yes, the global pandemic. So I'm sitting in Vancouver.
Your company is still very much in its infancy, and as before you fully launched, started business, the global pandemic, and obviously all the lockdowns that the pandemic has affected everybody around the world, regardless of where you live, and all businesses, especially for many African countries that depend on tourism. We saw that the number of visitors has reduced, travel has reduced, and therefore that sector of the economy is suffering. How has the global pandemic and its subsequent lockdowns, reduction in travel, obviously reduction in tourism, how has that affected your young company?
Yes, absolutely. We can certainly feel all that comes with the pandemic in terms of the travel. So the reductions of the travelers certainly is felt. That being said, as the founder, Zaniheza was built as a forward-thinking company. When I started as Amnesia, I really positioned myself to bring about a change in the travel industry. I call myself a disruptor. Interesting enough, I would say that Zaniheza was built to outlast, through my vision, the pandemic. You can ask me why. I knew from the beginning that technology was going to play a big piece. As much as we are traditionally called a tour operator, in my vision, I just didn't see the status quo as in welcoming people and then showing them around. That's why our focus is mainly on giving an experience. And through our slogan, we say, see Rwanda through our eyes. Actually, initially, my thought was see Africa through our eyes. So yes, there is certainly an impact that is being felt since we cannot welcome the clients and the travelers and show them around. At the same time, though, the lockdown has perhaps given us the time to build our company in a way that we are going to be way ahead for many, many, many years to come. And that's essentially within the vision I have had. Since how people travel to Rwanda and to Africa, in my mind, that should change in many ways. Because a lot of people tend to come here for the safari or for the gorillas. I had a different thought as how we should be doing that.
Okay, then that's the disruption part of it.
That is correct. That is the disruption.
Let's get into that a little bit later. Let's first get just to explain to our listeners the meaning of the word Zaniheza.
Yes.
That's a Kinyarwanda term. Why don't you explain what Zaniheza mean and what inspired you to go into the tourism industry?
Yes, absolutely. First, to answer your question as to what Zaniheza means, it is a Kinyarwanda name, and it means Murakaza Neza, welcome. It's beautiful, Niheza. When I was thinking about the name, we traditionally tend to choose a Western name, especially for Zaniheza that was founded in Vancouver. And in my vision is to really build a global company based in Africa. I don't feel that we have that yet. So if they can be an Alibaba, if they can be a Google, why not Zaniheza as a future global company, which I truly believe in? So for that, I wanted to maintain an authenticity. So I said it's going to be a name in one of the languages we speak in Africa. Being of Rwandan descent, well, the Kinyarwanda language, that's the way I went. However, our name can be quite long and hard to pronounce. So initially, I was thinking Niheza, which means beautiful. However, Niheza, when we went to register the company in Rwanda, it was not available. So I was trying to think and I was trying to brainstorm. I actually have some notes. So I came up with many, many sort of names, but then this sentence, Murakaza Neza, Niheza, really stood with me. So hence, so with that za, it's really that Murakaza Neza, Zaza, and Niheza. So that's the story about our name. One thing that truly inspired me was organically, as an African, as someone of Rwandan descent, I wanted to start with something that we have. And what we have here is the beauty.
You're inspired by that need to showcase beauty of your country to the rest of the world.
Yes, absolutely. The beauty of the country, the beauty of us, especially that I believe who we are as people is mostly negatively seen. If you think of, oh, I'm from Africa, they're like, oh, wait a second. They tend to go in places that I think that's not the true reflection
right.
of who we are.
That old perception about Africa as a war-ridden continent, conflict and disease and all that type of stuff. You wanted to change
that. That is correct. Yes. I wanted and I want to change that. So the beauty of our country, the beauty of essentially Wills and Heza, is our very foundation is the culture.
You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. If you're just joining us, welcome. And make sure to check out our podcast at voanews.com to catch up on our previous shows. And we continue our conversation with Charles Shima, the founder of Zaniheza, a tour and travel startup based in Rwanda. Now, tourism is one of the primary industries that is driving growth and job creation in the country.
What is it that you would want somebody just visiting Rwanda for the first time to know about your culture? And what is the best way of that visitor achieving an understanding and an appreciation of your culture?
There are many things. The one thing that comes to mind is not to just be a guest when you come here. You need to come and be fully immersed. We said in the slogan is, see Rwanda through our eyes. Leave all the perception behind. Don't come and think that's savior mentality. And once you leave that behind, it's when you will truly know us. We'd like you to feel, see, eat, dance, Rwandan through our eyes. So get to know us as people. So it's in that spirit that we thought also outside the box. If you cannot come to us, we can also come to you. How? We have now a Zani store, which is an essentially e-commerce. And I have sought partnership with many Rwandan who are into the fashion, the designers that I work with, because made in Rwanda is such a beautiful policy that the country started in 2015 to promote that self-resilience.
I like that you equate yourself or your model of the travel industry, and that's quite ambitious. But I want to know how the pandemic has affected you and your company since March, when the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 as a global pandemic, less travel. How does that affect you as a young, growing company? Do you see it as an opportunity? Do you see it as a setback? What do you do going forward?
Yes, realistically, as a new company ready to launch, if you look at the business model, you certainly want to have clients so that you can make revenue, so that you can be sustainable in the long run. So we have felt an impact of having that possibility to welcome our first client and delayed. We are surviving it. However, with no revenue, there is no challenges. Now, if we can step outside of why a business exists, I see this as an opportunity. Why? Because as much as we would like to welcome clients, we still have a lot of work to do in terms of building the company and so on. So for us, during the lockdown, we never really slowed down. My team and I, we continue to work from home almost, I'd say, 10 to 15 hours. The impact in terms of why a business exists, it's felt. And we would like to be to welcome the clients, to show the world, to show to the travelers what we have done, so that they can come and, for example, travel Rwanda by trying out all the experiences we have, which they are all amazing. However, as an opportunity, though, we have built the company, we have done innovations. For example, we have a blog called Urubwiro, where we raise awareness about Rwanda. We also have a YouTube channel.
That was Charles Shima, the founder and CEO of Zaniheza, a startup tour and travel company based in Kigali, Rwanda. We'll be right back. You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. Now we continue our conversation on how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected creatives and cultural workers across the continent, the economic impact of the lockdown restrictions, which, you know, were very necessary public health response to the health crisis, is being felt by every sector of the economy, but more so the creative industry. For example, musicians who make a living by selling concert tickets are not able to perform during a pandemic. That would totally be against social distancing restrictions. But in South Africa, the country with the highest infection rates on the continent, musicians like hip-hop artist Gigi Lamaine have had to find alternative ways to engage their audience and to find time to work on new projects. The kings and fathers of queens, you reign in your quest for the truth and striving to sleep. The people in your past can relate, your victory great. I saw you on the ships in your graves, your fathers relate. Many cries. So I'm working on my album and I'm working on an EP that's completely different to who I am. I've decided to experiment in the time where I'm doing a lot of, you know, dance music. I mean, I'm a hip-hop artist, so that's not, like, common. But I've decided to experiment with the dance music world, to collaborate with a lot of people, you know, the likes of Rosaria from Tanzania, Stanley Inao, he's from Cameroon, and he's also on this song with me, as well as DJ Tira. And DJ Tira is, like, one of the, you know, the biggest moguls in our country when it comes to music, entertainment, and making a name for yourself. So I'm really excited about those things, and it's given me a chance to really think about where I'm headed and all the work that I need to do. Now, Gigi is also part of a group of top African artists who contributed to a one-campaign musical project that raised awareness about COVID-19 while calling on leaders and citizens to stand together against the deadly virus.
So everyone is saying that they're excited for the music that comes out of this pandemic, that it's going to be phenomenal. How has the lockdown been for you creatively?
The lockdown has been amazing in the sense that I've managed to really learn a lot about myself. So I've been in a space where I've been able to do everything that I haven't been able to do before. So whether it's like learning how to create the perfect, I don't know, like paella meal, to being able to become a little more independent in studio, or to be able to get through my visual production. So, I mean, I've just decided that I'm not going to let the lockdown be something negative to me that I complain about, or, you know, where I just like moan about everything. I'm going to go into it and I'm going to try as much as I can to learn as much as I can from the situation. So I've literally, signed myself up, for instance, for like a random course on digital media and social media. Nice. So I'm like literally studying right now. I've been in studio doing a whole lot of music and stuff. Yeah, so I've just decided I'm not going to let things weigh me down.
Are you working on any musical projects?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm working on my album and I'm working on an EP that's completely different to who I am. I've decided to experiment in the time where I'm doing a lot of, you know, dance music. And I mean, I'm a hip hop artist, so that's not like common. But I've decided to experiment with the dance music world, to collaborate with a lot of people, you know, the likes of Rosaria, she's from Tanzania, Stanley Inao, he's from Cameroon, and he's also on this song with me, as well as DJ Tira. And DJ Tira is like one of the, you know, the biggest moguls in our country when it comes to music, entertainment, and making a name for yourself. So I'm really excited about those things, and it's given me a chance to really think about where I'm headed and all the work that I need to do.
How has this pandemic affected the music industry in South Africa?
Well, for one, we can't even perform live. So you can imagine, like, I cannot remember the last, I feel like the last time I performed live in South Africa was in March. And after the lockdown, we've just been at home. We've had to come to a point where we understand how important social media platforms are, and digitizing your brand is important as well. So just learning about like things that we take for granted, like images, contents, visual contents, when it comes to videos, how to be proactive, I guess, in the digital world now, because that's what we live. Like, you can't really be in contact with anyone, because in South Africa right now, I think we're on a lockdown level 3, but we're not allowed a whole lot of things. We're not allowed to gather, you know, when there's a certain amount of people. We're not allowed to, I mean, alcohol has been banned. A lot of things have been banned. So as a result, I think a lot of people have had to kind of like restructure their ways of living. But I know for one, we're completely like, the entertainment industry is quiet right now because we can't perform anywhere and we make a lot of our money from live, shows.
Right. Now, yeah. I've seen some governments provide different sectors of the economy with some sort of stimulus package. How has your government responded, especially to those in the creative space? You know, cultural workers who are struggling because of these shutdowns and other restrictions. Like you said, you cannot perform.
Yeah.
People who are artists can showcase their work. Is the South African government proposing any type of stimulus for you guys?
I mean, we do have something by our Department of Home Affairs, I'm not Home Affairs, Arts and Culture, where they've gone out to sort of source proposals when it comes to creative ways to get people working, so to alleviate poverty, for job creation and stuff like that. But I will say that, you know, a lot of people haven't really been able to access that yet, or a lot of people haven't been exposed to the fact that that is something that's there. But the government has put out almost like tenders for different projects you want to do digitally. So I think at this point, we're just trying to figure out how everything works. A lot of people are struggling with just like the administration, like who do I go to? Who do I send this email to? But I think people are slowly, you know, understanding that it is going to be chaotic because this is the first time this has ever happened. And I think we're also just getting into the gist of understanding that, you know, this is new for them as well.
It's a learning process.
They're really, really trying their best. It's a learning process for everyone. I think, I feel like everyone is just like pushed in and we kind of like all have to swim right now. So, you know, shout out to them for putting a lot of these things in place. And I think for us now, it's just about sourcing, you know, the knowledge that we need to be able to get a lot of these things going. I think, and myself for one, there's the Gigi Gang show, which is like the first one-woman show by a female hip-hop artist. It's a concert, and it showcases a lot of females on the continent and in our country who are doing amazing things, and we've had to digitize the concert as well. I think we're all, you know, almost in a corner, and we're just trying to push and pull until we find the right solution.
Tell me about this new song that you're part of, and why did you feel the need to lend your voice to this project?
So the new song is about us hashtag standing together. The idea is that artists come together from different, you know, different parts of Africa. I'm extremely, you know, against the idea of saying different parts of Africa, because I do want to see Africa as a borderless society, because I feel that we're all like extremely similar, you know, it's just a language, but we're all extremely the same, you know, and the idea is that we're brought together in the song to, you know, become a voice of hope to people, you know, people who are chilling at home and think that they won't come out of the situation, to finally understand that there is, you know, there are people that you look up to who believe that you're going to get through this, you know, this tough time. And, you know, Amanda Black, myself, Ben Paul, Yemi Alade, Tu Baba, everybody who's on the song, I think is about just making this the most positive experience that one will, you know, will take part in. I for one have decided to look at this as an experience where I am part of history. You know, I'm just an actor in this and I serve a role, and I decide whether I'm going to be grumpy about it or I'm going to be that musician who goes out and proactively does something. And I think the song is something that's allowed me to do that. So I've decided to be that artist who's going to get onto a song and tell people that, you know what, guys, we're actually part of a very historical process. We're going to get past this and we're going to be greater than we've ever thought ourselves to be. I believe, you know, in with everything in me, that Africa is a continent that has survived so many things. So many things socially, so many things environmentally, biologically. And we just keep on going. And I think the song is just that. It's the narrative that we're able to get past a lot of things regardless of what we're going through. And I'm proud to be part of that.
And with that, we come to the end of our show. I want to thank all of you who joined us on the show today, whether you are listening in on radio or via our podcast online, streaming. Until next time, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye, Africa.
dans les hôpitaux, la tristesse sous les masques. Mister Coron nous a piqué dans la face. On a tous.